So it would be very easy this morning just to preach to you from verses 28 through 30 because they're two of my favorite verses. They're my call verses. They're also my verses that Jesus spoke to me when I was a wayward woman. But that's not what we're doing today. We are going to talk about yokes, and that's not an egg yoke. It's the yokes of an oxen. And often, I don't know about you, but often when I have studied this, they always have Jesus and us kind of in a dual yoked situation. Jesus is here, and we're on the oxen yokes. I don't think that's what this is about. So I'm going to take us to those first verses first, because Jesus is speaking, and it's kind of odd to have them together, because he's speaking to people who aren't seeming to understand what's going on in the world. As he's talking to the crowd, he's talking about perceptions and how sometimes we seem to have one perception of something when it's really something else. Let me be clear. That's not really clear. Let me be clear. Israel had a perception of what a prophet should look like. Israel had a perception about how a prophet should be. But John came very differently, didn't he? You know, we always see John enacted with that funky clothing on because he was in that strange belt and burlap, and he ate lotus and lived out there in the desert, and he didn't eat or drink the way humans normally eat or drink in public. So they thought he had a demon. They chose not to listen to his words because he didn't match what they thought he should look like. So did they carry a particular yoke? I'm just going to leave that there for right now. So then Jesus goes on to talk about the Son of Man came eating and drinking. So the Son of Man came looking like a normal human being. But again, Israel had a view of what the Messiah should look like. Can you remember what that was? The heir of David's throne. He would conquer all the people who had conquered them. He'd restore the kingdom. The palace would be there. And they would have peace because they were their own kingdom again. That was what the Messiah would be. He would be their soldier savior. And that's the only thing they were looking at for the Messiah. But Jesus came. Jesus came eating and drinking. And they said, look, a glutton and a drunkard, and he's a friend of tax. He's eating with sinners. They could not see. Their eyes were blinded from the Messiah that was in front of them because of the image that they carried for who the Messiah might be. Would you say they were yoked? Let me take that one step further. What do I mean by are they yoked? When we think about an oxen and its yoke, don't think about the two. Think about one. One that's attached to some reins, and someone is pulling on those reins to control the movement of the ox, to make sure it goes in the proper place, furrows the field properly. So they're controlled by the one who is holding on to the reins. If our perceptions are controlled by what the media says, controlled by what the world says. Or take, for example, the Israelites, the concept of the Messiah, controlled by what their history said the king would come looking like. So when we allow others to control what we see or hear, or even allow our own fears, our own frustrations, our own anger, our own joy to control what we believe the concept of the world needs to be, we're yoked. We're being controlled by that which is not of us and that which is not of God. So I'm going to ask you to think about the things that control you. And how many of those burdens do you lay at the feet of Jesus? Or do you believe that because you know this, and you know this to be true, that you don't have to lay it at his feet because you have some ownership of truth. I just want you to think a little bit deeper of, do you truly own the truth of something? Have you given that up to God, that image that you have, or that truth that you've been given, have you put it up for God's litmus test so that God can say to you, maybe no. Think again. Think deeper. Pray deeper. Go deeper into my word and pay attention to what I'm asking you to do. What is my yoke that I give to you? We're going to get to that. Because the missing verses have to be talked about. You notice there's missing verses 20 through 24. The reason they're missing is because they're pretty harsh verses, and you think about 4th of July, you don't want to hear harsh verses. But they're harsh verses because they're verses about what happens to all the communities where Jesus has walked and talked and done all those miracles and all those healings and all that wonderful preaching, teaching, and healing. He says that if you don't turn to God because of who I am and what I have done here in the world, if you do not turn to the Lord, you will be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, because the truth has been in front of you and you chose not to see it. The truth has been in front of you and you have chosen not to follow it. The truth has been in front of you and you've chosen to say, look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, and you've crucified him. So Jesus goes on from there to speak about how God has hidden things from the wise and intelligent and only revealed them to infants. Only revealed them to infants. And I think about that is how often people misconceive of Leo. Anyone who knows my husband knows that he looks a little bit rough. And if he's tired, he looks like he could really bite your head off. Like, you don't want to go near this man, he's a bit scary kind of guy. Right? Except, if you ever notice puppies and children, they cling to this man like he's candy. Because they can see him for who he is. They can see the love and the gentleness that's really, the gentleness that's inside of him, the love that's inside of him. They see it, they know it, and they respond to it because they don't overthink who he is. How many times do we overthink someone or overthink a situation that if we would just be still and embrace it as a child, we could see God in the midst of it, whether it's a crisis or whether it's a celebration. And then he offers those words of, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is where I want us to settle this morning, is take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We allow ourselves to get yoked to too many things of the world. And it tears us apart. Either it tears families apart or it tears our own insides apart. And when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he's asking us to let go of everything and get in control. And his yoke, the word that could be etched into that piece of wood that goes upon us, is love. His yoke is love. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And if we follow the scriptures and follow his story, we learn that Jesus loved. He loved the Pharisees. He might have called them out, but he still loved them. He loved the Sadducees, might have called them out, but he loved them. He loved and ate with sinners. And on that last night, he not only ate with sinners, he ate with his betrayer and his denier. And he still loved them. Take my yoke upon me, my yoke of love. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Think how tired you are. They talk about pandemic fatigue. Think how tired we are with worry, with anger, with frustration, with fear. And that has just caused us to be in knots. And he says, take my yoke. Lay down your heavy burden at my feet. I got this. Let go. I got this. All you have to do is allow me to be yoked to you. Let me be the master. You be yoked in love, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You might not think that love is light, but it is, because it frees us from so many other things. So this morning, as you think about all of the worries of the world and the worries of our nation and the worries of God's church, remember that God's to worry about. God's got this. Love is going to win. He asks you to let go and love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.